Canto 3, Chapter 23. Devahuti's Lamentation. Maitreya said, after the departure of the parents, the chaste woman who understood the desires of her husband constantly served her spouse with a love as great as that of Parvati for Shiva, her lord. Intimately, with a pure soul, with great respect and sense control, she was of service with love and sweet words, O Vidura. Forsaking lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful actions and vanity, she always pleased her powerful husband diligently with good sense. She, the daughter of Manu, fully devoted to him, who no doubt was the foremost sage among the divine rishis, expected greater blessings from him than from Providence. But he saw that she had grown weak and emaciated because of the protracted religious observance. Overcome with compassion, he, with a of love stammering voice, spoke to her. Kardama said, at present, I am pleased with you, O respectful daughter of Manu, because of your most excellent supreme service and devotion. But you do not properly take care of that body so extremely dear to this embodiment. You deplete it in my service. The blessings of the Lord I have achieved in my religious life of fully being engaged in austerity, meditation, and a mind fixed on knowledge can just as well be obtained by you in your devotional service to me. I now grant you the transcendental vision to be able to see this grace that is free from fear and lamentation. What material achievements compare to this grace of the Lord of Fortune? Those enjoyments find their end in a single movement of an eyebrow of the Lord of the Great Strides. Thanks to your conscientious service, you can now enjoy the success of the supernatural gifts that are so difficult to obtain for people proud of their lineage. After he this way had spoken, the woman, who heard him excel in the special knowledge of yoga, found satisfaction, and then, with a voice choked with humility and love, spoke to him with a shining, smiling face and a slightly bashful glance. Devahuti said, O best of the Brahmins, O mighty husband, I know you are a master in the infallible mystical powers of yoga. Let then now your promise be fulfilled that, once we have united in the body, we may enjoy the greater glory of having progeny, which, for a chaste woman, is of such a great value. Do, for this sake, that what, according to the scriptures, needs to be done, and by which this, because of an unfulfilled passion and by emotions struck, emaciated, poor body, may be rendered fit for you. And please, O Lord, also think of a suitable mention. Maitreya said, seeking the pleasure of his dearest, Kardama exercised his yogic power and produced instantly a high-rising palace that fulfilled her wish, O Vidura. It answered all desires and was wonderfully bedecked with all sorts of jewels, constituted a collection of all kinds of luxury, and had pillars carved out of precious stone. It was equipped with a heaven of paraphernalia and brought happiness throughout all seasons, was decorated with festoons and flags and wreaths of various colors and fabrics, charming sweet flowers humming with bees, fine cloth of linen and silk, and was embellished with various tapestries. In stories, one over the other, there were separate arrangements of beds, comfortable couches, and fanned seats. Here and there, various artistic engravings were displayed with the extraordinary beauty of a floor with emeralds furnished with coral dices. The doorways had thresholds of coral and doors beautifully bedecked with diamonds. Its domes of sapphire were crowned with golden pinnacles. On the diamond walls there were the choicest rubies that seemed to give them eyes, and it was furnished with various canopies and highly valuable gates of gold. Many artfully crafted swans and groups of pigeons here and there made the real ones who thought to see their own kind repeatedly fly over and vibrate their sounds. The pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, inner and outer yards, designed for comfort, astonished the sage himself. Kardama, who could understand the heart of everyone, saw that Devahuti was not very happy to see such a mansion, and then addressed her personally. O fearful one, before you go up this heavenly palace, please bathe in the sacred lake created by Lord Vishnu that fulfills all desires of man. She, the lotus-eyed one, with her matted hair and dirty clothes, then complied with the words of her husband. With her body and her breasts grubby and covered by dirt, she entered the lake containing the sacred waters of the Sarasvati River. In the lake, she saw a house with 1,000 girls as fragrant as lotuses in the prime of youth. Seeing her, all of a sudden, the damsels rose and said with folded hands, "We are your maid servants. Please tell us what we can do for you." After bathing her with the most costly oils, the respectful girls gave the virtuous wife spotless, fine new clothes. They also gave her most valuable ornaments, all kinds of excellent food of the best quality, and sweet, intoxicating beverages. She then looked at the mirror image of her body that, freed from all dirt and clad in clean robes, by the utterly respectful maidservants was adorned with a garland and decorated with auspicious marks. Washed from head to toe, she was decorated with a golden necklace with locket and bangles and with tinkling ankle bells made of gold. About her hips, she wore a girdle made of gold decorated with numerous jewels. She was also adorned with a precious pearl necklace and auspicious substances. With her beautiful teeth, charming eyebrows, lovely moist eyes that defeated the beauty of lotus birds, and her bluish curly hair, she shone all over. While thinking about her dear husband, the foremost among the sages, she suddenly found herself, together with her maidservants, at the place where he, the founding father, the Prajapati, was situated. With that sudden return to her husband, being surrounded by her 1,000 maidens, she was in awe about his yogic power. Seeing her washed clean, shining forth in her original beauty beyond compare, girdled and with charming breasts, attended by 1,000 celestial girls and excellently dressed, the sage, taken aback by the sight, helped her ascend that elevated place, O destroyer of the enemy. Even though he appeared to be attached to his dearest, who was attended by the girls of heaven, he did not lose his glory. Together with her in the palace, his person shone as charmingly as the moon in the sky surrounded by the stars, causing rows of lilies to open in the night. In that palace, in that heavenly vehicle, he reached the pleasure grounds of the gods of heaven and the valleys of Indra, the king of the mountains, that are so beautiful with the falling waters of the Ganges, the cool breezes that arouse the passion. He who, like treasurer Kuvira, was surrounded by his damsels, thus for a long time enjoyed his life, while the souls of perfection, the Siddhas, vibrated the auspicious sounds of their praises. Loved by his wife, he enjoyed the gardens of Vaishrambhaka, Surasana, Nandana, Pushpabhadraka, Chaitraratya, and Lake Manasasarovar. With that splendorous and grand palace answering to every desire, he moved through the worlds just like the air that reaches everywhere, and surpassed therewith the palaces, the heavenly vehicles of the greatest gods. What would be difficult to achieve for those men who are determined, for those who have taken refuge of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality that vanquish all danger? after having shown his wife the entire sphere of the earth with all its arrangements and its many wonders, the great yogi did not yet return to his hermitage. In order to please his wife, the daughter of Manu, who was eager to have intercourse, he divided himself in 9 forms and enjoyed the many years with her like in a moment. In the palace, lying on an excellent bed conducive to their love, she, in the company of her most handsome husband, lost her notion of time. For the enjoying couple, immersed in their love games, thus, by the power of yoga, 100 autumns passed in a trice. Powerful Kardama, as a knower of the soul, knew everyone's desire. He, as her other half, made love to her and deposited his semen in her with the body that he had divided in 9. Soon thereafter, Devahuti gave birth to 9 baby girls, who all, in every limb, were as charming as a fragrant red lotus. Seeing that her husband was about to leave home, she gave a beautiful smile, but was inwardly upset with her heart in distress. Suppressing her tears, scratching the floor with the radiant, gem-like nails of her foot, she, with her head bent down, slowly expressed herself in charming words. Devahuti said, "All that you have promised, my lord, has been fulfilled, but you should grant the surrendered soul that I am freedom from fear also. My dear Brahmin, it is left to your daughters to find a suitable husband. But who is there to comfort me when you have left for the forest?" Disregarding the knowledge of the Supreme Soul, so much idle time has passed with us indulging in pleasing our senses, my master. Attached to the gratification of our senses, my love for you went without recognizing your transcendental existence. May that love nevertheless protect me against all fear. Association with those engaged in sense gratification is the cause of the cycle of birth and death, while that kind of ignorant acting in association with a saintly person leads to liberation. When one's work here is not performed for the sake of a higher, more righteous life, when one's righteous life does not lead to detachment, and when one's detachment does not lead to devotional service at the place where the lotus feet are worshipped, one is a zombie, someone dead being alive. It suffers no doubt that I was the one who was completely deceived by the outer material potency of the Lord. For despite having achieved you, the one granting liberation, I did not seek liberation from material bondage.